You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. The scripture reading will be Psalm 106. We will be reading verse 7b, 29, first part, and verse 43, part B. But God provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. And verse 43, part B. But they provoked him with their counsel. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your word, because we ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. As we go through, we're going to do the entire Psalm 106, which is not too long. But as we go through it, it appeared to me to have some similarities to this age we're in today. So as we read through there, see if you can pick up some things that we can address in our own lives and in the lives of our nation. But once again, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we covet your word because the power of it. It brings us down to the foundation, and it does away with our thoughts that would be against your will. So we pray, Lord, that you'd energize our mind and our spirit in a way that will be pleasing to you, and that we might react in a way that is subject to your will, and leaves our will at a place that has no place in our Christian fellowship. So we thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, because we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Psalm 106, beginning with verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the angry acts, the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all of his praise? Blessed are they who keep judgment, and that he doeth righteousness at all times. We've talked about the word righteousness before. It's really what is doing right. But God does it at all times, where the righteousness that we have imputed by him to us, we don't do it all times. We don't do the right thing at all times, but he does. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory in thine inheritance. We'll deal with this word inheritance here in just a minute, but keep that in mind there. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remember not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. Now, the use of the word saved here is not in the context of salvation. It's saved in the way that you might say that he saved a man from a burning house. This is not referring to salvation. That he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the sea, the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. Can't you just picture being at that time and seeing what the Lord had done of parting the Red Sea, drying up that land so that His people could go across and get to the other side. And would that, you think that would be evidence enough of His power and His mercy of taking them out of the hands of the Egyptians that were chasing after them? And then they say, verse 12, then believed they His words. They sang His praise. But look at, before we proceed on, let's look at verse 43. Many times did He deliver or rescue them. I don't know whether anyone's ever counted the times that He has brought them out of a situation just like this. But He rescued them time and time again. And what did they do? Verse 13. They soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel. And we see down at the last part of 43 that we're just looking at there. But they provoked Him with their counsel. And as we see, after time and time again, God got to a point where He was pretty provoked, as the Scripture tells us. And I wonder, makes you wonder, if some of the things that are going on today, if He's provoked at that. Over 1 million children aborted and murdered. And of course, we're going through alternative lifestyles now. You suppose this is provoking the Lord? Of course, then He was dealing, the difference here is a dispensational thing. Then He's dealing with a nation. He's dealing with each of us individually today. God is not dealing with us as a nation, as He was the nation Israel. And that dealing with the nation Israel stopped at the end of the Acts period. So that still doesn't keep Him from being mighty provoked at what He sees in our nation today. Verse 14. So they waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Before we leave that word soul, let me just give you something to think about there, and we may deal with this item in great detail sometime down the line. I don't know if some of you may have had in times past kind of a wonder in your mind about the soul. And let's see what God said about it. In Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord God formed the Adam, man, of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And this verse clearly reveals the truth that man is not a tripartite, meaning three, as the Godhead is. He is one. He is a soul. Why? Because this is how God made him. That's a very, very clear statement. Adam became a living soul. And verse 16, they envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up that Dathan, and covered or overwhelmed the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. And they made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. They didn't remember very long all the things that God had done for them, didn't it? Bring them through the Red Sea and many of things even before that. But they resorted to their own desires, as we see this happening today.
and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude or likeness or similarity of an ox that eateth grass. Remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar. He got down on his all fours and ate grass like an animal did. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. He had done this once before. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them? Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also under Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. Now this word provoked here is not exactly the same as the other two that we read. This is a word that means he was grieved or he was irritated. And the plague broke in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment. Turn to Numbers in chapter 25. Let's read about that. Chapter 25 in Numbers. We can begin reading it. This covers two things we want to talk about. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself in the Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay you every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, had turned his wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. So here's another occasion where he was ready to destroy his people, but someone stepped in the breach. Moses stepped in the breach, and Phinehas stepped in the breach, and God changed his mind. He let them live. But and here again, it makes you wonder how much further we can go today, like Israel did. Time after time after time, they went against his word and worshipped idols, the golden calf. And he got to the point where he said, this is enough. When is he going to say, today, this is enough? 2 Timothy, we won't read that, but 2 Timothy gives us a picture of the things that are going on today. And remember, you remember in verse 9 there of chapter 3, where it says, and they shall proceed no further. Verse 32, they angered him also at the waters of strife. While you're there in Numbers, just turn back to chapter 20. First, beginning reading verse 7. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and they shall bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and he commanded as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said to them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So even Moses and Aaron didn't do what he said. He said, Speak unto the rock. He didn't tell him to smote the rock with his rod. So verse 32, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, but because they provoked his spirit, Moses' spirit, so that he spake inadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations, Canaan, concerning whom the Lord commanded them. He commanded them to kill everyone. You remember? All the women and children. Did they do that? No. But they were mingled among the heathen. They mingled among them instead of killing them. And learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yes, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of God kindled against his people, insomuch as he abhorred his own inheritance. Have you ever thought about that statement, that the nation Israel was his inheritance, but he was abhorred with it? When did his inheritance with Israel stop? At the end of the Acts period, when they were set aside. Who is his inheritance today? Look at Ephesians. Turn over to Ephesians in the first chapter, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. His inheritance today is the body of Christ, the saints. And no longer are the children of Israel his inheritance. He had many reasons to abhor his inheritance with the nation Israel. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, verse 41. And they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many, again, well, this is what we read before. Many times did he deliver them or rescue them. But they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Turn back to Kings, 1 Kings chapter 8. Begin reading at verse 50. This is a prayer of Solomon's. Then hear thou their prayer. This is Solomon speaking. And their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all the transgressions wherein they have transgressed before them, who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people, and thine inheritance. Here again is a reference to their being God's inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou speakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord, thou hast given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Then hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. So there again, Solomon lifted up in his prayer people of Israel. So we come back to the question. Now let's finish reading there, verse 47. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, the nations, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. So the question is how do we regard God's inheritance today? How do we regard whether he's pleased with his inheritance with the saints of today, and how long will he wait? Something to ponder. We sometimes ask ourselves in conversation, how much more will he tolerate? How much longer will he be provoked? We see so many situations where those in authority are going against the Word of God, whether it's intentional, or whether they're dealing in naivety and don't know any better. But it's, as I say, it's something for us to ponder. And we learn from God's dealing with his nation, with his people in the Old Testament, of what he did with them. I don't know that we have a Solomon or a Moses or an Aaron or Phinehas to stand up and hold their hand up and say, "Not yet, Lord, not now." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we're so blessed by your mercy, your grace. We pray, Lord, that our lives would demonstrate the thankfulness that we have for what you've given us, and that that you would put a hedge about us, Lord, that we might not be contaminated by the world, but that we might be clean in our thoughts and our actions and the righteousness that you have imputed to us. So we thank you, Lord, for this day. We pray for those that are not here today, that they might have safe travel. And again, we thank you for the power of your word, that we might handle it safely and honestly, and that we might in turn pass on the good news to those that we come in contact with. These things we lift up because we ask it in your name, in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.